The keys to developing new attitudes, habits, and skills are 1. The commitment to memory, usually in a relaxed or meditating environment, those specific visualizations and accompanying emotions that can override current information stored in your subconscious robot. And 2. Through relentless repetition, again, again, and again, the penetration and storage of these new inputs into your robot self-image, resulting in the creation of a brand new self-image about that particular act. True self-discipline is telling yourself over and over with words, pictures, concepts, and emotions that you are winning each important victory now. So the winners practice in and out of the office and on and off the playing field. They learn new information, correct information, and then they visualize it, and they simulate each experience they want to achieve. Every winner I've ever met in every walk of life, male or female, young or old, uses the technique of visualization or mental simulation every day in his or her imagination. As former chairman of our Olympic sports psychology program, I met a world champion Russian figure skater, and she told me, "You know, Dennis, I rarely fall because I practice each sequence in my imagination at night with my eyes closed, and I could successfully perform my entire routine blindfolded without hesitation." From former Olympic skiing stars like Billy Johnson, Debbie Armstrong, and the Mayer twins, to all of the marvelous European champions, they've all learned that mental simulation is an excellent way to practice skiing and gain confidence. In your mind, close your eyes, feet together, weight properly balanced, correct knee position, down the fall line, navigate the moguls, feel the crisp exhilaration, the wind, the speed, the open freedom of doing it all yourself. For champions, it's the winning edge. For beginners, it's a great way to conquer fear. After all, in your imagination, you never fall. All of the great golfers like Jack Nicklaus and Greg Norman and Pat Bradley and Kathy Baker, every time they miss a shot, they immediately replay it in their imaginations. And tennis greats like Martina Navratilova and Boris Becker, they're simulation masters. You know, some time ago when Jack Nicklaus won the Masters Golf Tournament in his middle 40s, a veteran jockey was simulating while he watched Nicklaus and his son march up the 18th fairway toward the victory celebration and the coveted green jacket. As he watched the TV coverage, riding legend Willie Shoemaker said to himself, "If Jack Nicklaus can win the Masters at his age, then I can reach inside myself and win the Kentucky Derby one more time at over 50 years of age." The simulation once again came true as old Willie the Shoe stood in the real winner's circle in Louisville on Derby Day. So the winners in life simulate and practice winning. In other words, they take their successes and build on those. They practice as if they were first, even if their challenge is a first for mankind, because it gets to be a habit with them. The astronauts are the best living examples of winning self-discipline. I had the good fortune to study and observe the Apollo Moon Program astronauts, and I watched the crews playing Let's Pretend We're Going to the Moon. You see, no one had ever done it before. Who other than Jules Verne or Isaac Asimov really dreamed it possible? Astronauts spend years engaged in mental simulation. They practice bobbing up and down in a rubber life raft at sea, responding to the feeling of weightlessness so they'd be experienced in outer space. Then they went to the desert and practiced with a simulated lunar excursion module, as if they were landing it on the surface of the moon. Hour after hour, month after month, year after year, they memorized and simulated the exact theoretical steps with hundreds of critically vital sequences that NASA scientists had imagined and computed would take them safely to the moon and back. And then Neil Armstrong, after 300 practice sessions, took the first step and transmitted his reactions back to Mission Control in Houston. "Houston, the Eagle has landed. That's one small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind." But he also radioed back, "It was beautiful, just like our drills." You know, I remember sitting next to a woman on a recent flight to Chicago who was making a weird high-pitched humming sound with her eyes closed. I turned the overhead air nozzle on her face and I asked her if she wanted me to call a stewardess to come to her aid. She retorted indignantly, "I beg your pardon. I'm an oboist for a symphony orchestra, and I'm practicing for tonight's performance. I thought that was weird, but she thought I was weird for interrupting her, and she said, "Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll continue the performance."